Jai Anila Prema Dhanna Karuna Prachur. Hena Prabhu Kota Gela Charya Thakur. Jage Charya Thakur. Avamora Sarupa. Kakazanata Kakatasa Raghunatha Patita Bhagavan. Mora Paja Yuga Kada Virahas Jayuga Kada Virahas Ekakare Gela Goranata Garaka Ashane Kuchibo Mata Annale vachi prahu. Morangadu deranere kauta gele bahamahu. Se sabha sange ra sange ye koi na me la se sanga na paya Kande Narata Mohdadas Ye Anila Prema Danda Karuna Prachur. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jai Om Vishnu Pad. Paramahansa Paravirakacharya. Oh. The mind grace of Ayachanana, the Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Iskan founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Ananda Goti, Vaishnav Vrindi Kijaya. Namacharya, Srila Rila Stakuru Kijaya. Paramse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kunda Radha Kunda Gidavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamanamaya Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samagreta Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Prabhananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My own Vishnu Padai Krishna Vasai Guru Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Naman Namaste Saswati Vindeva Sesas Anybody Vasya Today Shatari. So we'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Narottama Das, Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Omagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Namidikam Yena Tasmai Shigavena Maha. So today we were commemorating the departure of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada from this mortal world. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So Srila Prabhupada is still with us and one can still take shelter of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And I just wanted to read a little bit from the Bhagavatam, which is what I traditionally read on these particular days, on this day, actually, of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. And the reason I'm reading this is the section of the Bhagavatam that we read over and over again when actually we were there when Srila Prabhupada left this world to help us center ourselves, to help us understand how we should be feeling, what we should be doing, and how to look forward to the future. So this, I'm just going to read this very shortly. And then I wanted to go over a brief overview of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes in life. And maybe someone can use the the mouse there when we do that, because we're going to scroll down. But let's read from here first. This is from the fourth canto, chapter 28. It's a metaphorical story about Vidarbi, or the queen of Vidarbha, lamenting when her husband passed away. And the metaphor is that the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the king. So it's like the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. So I'm going to start reading a little bit from text 47 in some parts of the purport, because of the purport, Prabhupada is actually quite explicit about this metaphor. Being alone and a widow in that forest, the daughter of Vidarbha began to lament incessantly, shedding tears which soaked her breast and crying very loudly. And Prabhupada does say figuratively, the queen is supposed to be the disciple of the king, and when the mortal body of the spiritual master expires, the disciples should cry exactly as the queen cries when the king leaves his body. And then Prabhupada says something very wonderful here. However, the disciple, of course, everything he says is wonderful. However, the disciple and spiritual master are never separated, because the spiritual master always keeps company with the disciple as long as the disciple strictly follows the instructions of the spiritual master. This is called association of vani, or words. Physical presence is called kopu. As long as the spiritual master is physically present, the disciple should serve the physical body of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is no longer physically existing, the disciple should serve the instructions of the spiritual master. And then, actually, the next verse is quite instructive. O best of kings, please get up. Get up, just see this world surrounded by water, infested by rogues and so-called kings. This world is very much afraid, and it is your duty to protect her. So the Prabhupada comments, I'm not going to read this whole purport, that when the acharya disappears, I'm just read part of it, rogues and non-devotees take advantage and immediately begin to introduce unauthorized principles in the names of so-called swamis, yogis, philanthropists, welfare workers, and so on. So we saw that when Srila Prabhupada left this world, there was quite a disturbance in our society. And fortunately, because we, I mean, devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, decided to follow Prabhupada's instructions council instead of appointed a made, then our society stayed together. And it was, things became rectified. Things got really haywire for a while. And then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, because the devotees actually followed Prabhupada's instructions, then things were rectified, and we're still working on rectifying things now. So another quote here is, that most obedient wife fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in the solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. And Prabhupada comments, just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. And then there's a talk about the sati right here. Let me just read the text. She then began preparing a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. And Prabhupada says, this indicates the devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality, these are really important instructions for us. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to reestablish religious principles. It is the duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciples should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. And that's all I'm going to read for the Bhagavatam right now. And of course, this is very similar to the story of Kunti and Madri. When King Pandu passed away, due to embracing Madri, actually, that was a curse. There was some discussion between Kunti and Madri as to who would stay and who would go. And it was decided that Madri would actually go with Pandu. One reason is that Madri was the one that Pandu was attempting to embrace. But even more importantly was that Madri could not see her sons equally with the sons of Kunti. So this is a really important point. There's a reason I'm making this point. Because, I have it right here. Because as Prabhupada commented on before he left, he said, your love will be tested by how you cooperate. Cooperate means actually avoiding conflicts and party spirit. And this is a great danger, actually a great danger in all religious societies, and particularly in our society where we have gurus, and each of the gurus are supposed to have the, let's see, allegiance of their disciples. And there's a tendency to split, which is what happened with the Gaudiya Math. And so that is very much comparable to the tendency that Madri would have had to favor her sons, Nakul and Sahadev, over the sons of Kunti. And Kunti did not have the consciousness of divide or discriminating between her sons and the sons of Madri. She actually considered all of them to be equal. So this is instructive to us that regardless of who someone's spiritual master is or who they're initiated by, then everybody should be seen equally in the Krishna conscious movement. And I personally have endeavored not to encourage disciple, or actually to discourage disciple groups. And I personally don't even have disciple meetings, because that would that might stimulate some divisive mood in the movement. So, because we're all part of Prabhupada's family, and that's very important to see like that. So the same way Kunti was able to see like that, that they're all part of Pandu's family, whereas Madri was not able to see like that. So Madri was the one, that's really the internal reason why Madri was the one to leave with Pandu and Kunti stayed. And you see that Kunti, in fact, even went overboard to give special attention to Nakula and Sahadev. If you read the Mahabharata, you'll see that. So anyway, so that's an instruction for us. Okay, so I'd like to go over Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, we say life, or of course, Prabhupada's birth. To help those who don't know that much about Prabhupada, and actually the devotees should read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, which is, in my mind, it's actually just as important as the Bhagavad Gita. The reason it's just as important as the Bhagavad Gita is because the Lilamrita is Bhagavad Gita in action. You know, for many of us, to relate to our Arjuna situation is actually quite difficult, because we're not literally on a battlefield. Where Prabhupada was on a battlefield, but his type of battlefield we can relate to. I don't think any of us, hopefully, have to kill our grandfathers or our cousin brothers. I mean, of course, if Krishna might test us, you never know. But in any case, so it's Prabhupada's life as an acharya. Acharya means example, is something that we can really follow. You know, his determination in preaching Krishna consciousness, his determination, as we're going to read in a little while, to make his married life successful in Krishna consciousness. And actually, that's very important. Prabhupada wanted very much to preach from his grihastha ashram. And it's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in many cases, discouraged people from leaving the grihastha ashram, which is really interesting. There's one example in South India where one, I think it was Kurma Brahman, he wanted to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't speak like that. Stanisthita Shrutigatam Tanvan Manobir. Just remain where you are and preach Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada really understood this point, and Prabhupada himself engaged his householders in spreading the movement in one sense, even more than the sannyasis did, which is really interesting. I mean, some of the most dynamic preaching in India was not done by, I mean, not in India, around the world, was not done by sannyasis, but done by grihasthas, as we see in like Malati and Shamashundar, who were, and others, of course, like Mukunda, who were able to go into London and actually kickstart the movement in London. So Prabhupada actually had that intention. And of course, Krishna had a different idea, which is interesting. So let's start with Prabhupada's appearance. Of course, we know Prabhupada appeared in 1896, and before he appeared, his parents, Gormohan Day and Rajani Devi, they prayed for a pure devotee, specifically a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani, which is interesting. And we find that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he prayed for Lord Chaitanya's right-hand man. And Srila Prabhupada's parents prayed for a pure devotee of Radharani. And Prabhupada said his father particularly was a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani, and I'm sure his mother was too. And so practically immediately after he was born, of course, there is a period of contamination usually in India where you don't take someone into the temple. But after that period, they would regularly wheel Prabhupada in what Prabhupada called a perambulator. A perambulator, if you know, a pram. Some of you don't know what that is. That means a baby carriage. They would wheel Prabhupada in to see the Radha Govinda deities. And the temple was right, basically it was right across the street from Prabhupada's house. I actually visited the temple and saw the Radha Krishna deity, Radha Govinda deities, and where Prabhupada was born in Calcutta. And so Prabhupada had that association, and that was his first memory. So this is very interesting and very important for us that we expose the children to this sort of impression or these sorts of impressions, even from the time of pregnancy or even before the pregnancy, of course. That's called Garbhadhan Samskara. So these are samskaras. Actually, the interesting thing is the word samskara does not mean, you can take it indirectly to mean a reformatory practice, but actually means impressions. So we are getting impressions. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita states, what is it? Karnam guna sangasya sadasa janma jonishu. Our impressions are generally coming from the modes of nature. So Prabhupada's first impressions, you know, in the womb of his mother, of course, and his father and his mother, they perform this Garbhadhan Samskara. Prabhupada actually said, if people don't perform this Garbhadhan Samskara, they lose their caste. Lose their caste. Prabhupada actually made that interesting statement, that even a Brahmin, if he doesn't do Garbhadhan Samskara, he becomes a Shudra. Of course, that's according to ritualistic ceremonies. But Prabhupada was very strong on that. These samskaras, these impressions. So Prabhupada's impressions were always Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's an interested devotee. It's not that he was dependent upon those impressions, because he sometimes there was never a time when he forgot. Prabhupada commented on that quite a bit. And Prabhupada even mentioned, I believe it was Bhavananda Maharaj, that he was with Krishna in the spiritual world, and Krishna said, you have to come down to this material world to write some books. And Prabhupada said, what, me go to this place? And Krishna said, yes, you have to go there. So another indication that of his great spiritual qualities was that at age 6, as you see here, he was performing Ratha Yatra. Not only was he performing Ratha Yatra, he insisted to his father that his father had to buy a cart, and they didn't have much money at that time to buy a cart. And then Prabhupada was crying. And then there's this story that there was this lady who asked, you know, why is your son crying like this? You know, Krishna arranged everything. Why is your son crying? And Prabhupada's father revealed that, you know, he wants a Ratha Yatra cart. And she said, oh, I have an old cart. And Prabhupada himself actually decorated the cart, painted the cart, and all of his friends he was organizing. Prabhupada said from the very beginning of his life, he was like a leader, and he organized all of his friends to perform this Ratha Yatra ceremony, and organized all the ladies to cook prasadam. So Prabhupada's leadership propensity, ability, was manifest even as a 6-year-old boy. Can you imagine that? this bossy. It's almost like Krishna. You were reading the story of, or talking about Govardhan Puja's story the other day, how Krishna was bossing around all the residents of Vrindavan, saying, you know, don't do this Indra Puja. Worship Govardhan. Prabhupada was doing the same thing with his family. Really interesting how Prabhupada was organizing spiritual practices even from the beginning. It's not only that he was doing the Ratha Yatra, but he was organizing the Ratha Yatra. Now, you might may say, you know, why is the Ratha Yatra so important in Prabhupada's pastime? Because the Ratha Yatra, or the worship of Lord Jagannath, is the worship of Krishna in the mood of separation, Vipralamba Seva, which is actually the highest mood. So this Ratha Yatra is not just an ordinary ceremony. It's an indication of the mood of the residents of Vrindavan feeling separation from Krishna, and also Krishna feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan. So it illustrates Prabhupada's exalted position, that Prabhupada organized Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada commented that even when he was young, he would be looking at the train schedules, trying to plan out, you know, when will the train get to Jagannath Puri? And eventually, you know, when he graduated, he did go to Jagannath Puri. And there's an interesting story about that I'll tell in a second. So anyway, so that was in 1902, Prabhupada did the Ratha Yatra in Calcutta. In 1910, Prabhupada's mother passed away. Very unfortunate circumstance. You know, Prabhupada was very young, like 14 years old at that particular point. And there were riots in 1911. There were riots in Calcutta, and Prabhupada somehow or other didn't get harmed by the riots. And then Prabhupada attended the Scottish Churches College, run by the Scottish Church Missionaries, from 1916 to 1920. And during that time, he entered grahastha life and married Radharani Dutt. In 1920, he passed his final examination, the BA examination at the college. But at that time, he was a follower, or at least his pastimes indicated that he was a follower of Gandhi's nonviolence movement. So he rejected his diploma and gave up his college education. And that's also similar to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's pastimes, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't take his education because he was afraid he's going to be pressurized to get married. So in 1922, his friend Narendranath Mulak actually dragged Srila Prabhupada to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was his future initiating spiritual master. And Prabhupada didn't really want to go because Prabhupada had seen so many bogus sadhus before. They used to come to his father's home and ask his father to arrange for ganja. And Prabhupada didn't take it so seriously. So he was dragged. Prabhupada said, practically he dragged him to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And practically the first thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Srila Prabhupada is, preach this Chaitanya's cult in the English language and in the Western countries. And Prabhupada had some discussion, some doubt about that. He said, who will take up your Chaitanya's cult when India is a captive nation? And at this particular point, he was defeated by his spiritual master. And Prabhupada said that doubts are a sign of intelligence. And as we heard the other day in class, that two things Prabhupada said in his purport are condemned in the Bhagavad Gita: blind following and absurd inquiries. So therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, 1922, he had already joined Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, but he actually became detached from it after meeting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In the first, 1925, he went to Vrindavan for the first time and heard from his spiritual master. It's an actually interesting occurrence when he went to Vrindavan. Let's see. Yeah. Well, that's happened the second time he went to Vrindavan. In 1928, he went to Allahabad in the Kumbh Mela, and he helped the Gaudiya Math. He actually moved there and opened up his pharmacy there, and helped the Gaudiya Math open a branch in Allahabad. And the members would regularly visit him, and he was called a Bhai Babu at that particular point. In 1930, Srila Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Day, passed away. And in 1933, Srila Prabhupada accepted Diksha initiation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So Diksha initiation actually indicates the second initiation, what we call the second initiation. He actually took first and second simultaneously. But usually in the Gaudiya Math, when they talk about initiation, it's in reference to the Diksha initiation or second initiations. Harinam is considered preliminary and not actually the initiation in many of the Gaudiya Maths. And so in 1935, something very important happened. He visited Radhakund again to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's house there in Radhakund, and he received instructions about constructing temples and publishing books. And that instruction was that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very upset that his disciples were fighting each other over rooms in the Calcutta Gaudiya Math. And actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur predicted to Srila Prabhupada at this particular point that there will be a fire in the moth. In other words, there'd be conflicts after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world. And he said to Prabhupada, if you ever get any money, you should print and distribute books. And if you could sell the marble from the temples to print and distribute books, that's what you should do. You know, very heavy instruction. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that instruction to Srila Prabhupada as he was sitting on a swing. Because I saw the exact place where Prabhupada gave the instruction. Prabhupada got the instruction. There was a swing hanging from the ceiling of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's house, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And Prabhupada was sitting on the floor, and Prabhupada got the instruction in that particular place. In 1936, Prabhupada wrote the famous Vyas Puja homage to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is absolute ascension. Thou hast proved in personal calamity, thou hast moved. I mean, it's a whole poem. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw this, he said, he has understood. He has actually understood my mission. And he also gave instructions to all the publishers and magazines and the Gaudiya Math that whatever Prabhupada writes should be published immediately. So, and actually right before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world in 1936, December 31st, Srila Prabhupada got an instruction from him to preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. So that was the last instruction from his spiritual master, which he took as his very life and soul. So Prabhupada really illustrated the point that I made in the beginning of class when I read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how one should take the mission and the instructions of his spiritual master as his life and soul, specifically, of course, before the spiritual master leaves the planet, but specifically after the spiritual master leaves the planet, because that's the only connection that one has with the spiritual master is the spiritual master's mission. When the spiritual master is not physically present and the spiritual master's instructions, that's the connection, you know, Vani and Vapu. Vapu, of course, is the form or the body of the spiritual master. So, don't have much time. But in 1944, when he was 48 years old, he published Back to Godhead magazine, and he would go through Delhi and other cities and distribute it at the tea stalls. You know, probably was very humble. He just went to all these tea stalls, and probably many times spoke very derogatorily about tea stalls. I mean, I was listening to a class this morning, and Prabhupada was just like lambasting the Britishers for addicting the Indians to tea. I mean, it was a topic that you hear again and again from Prabhupada. So in 1947, he received the honorary title of Bhakti Vedanta from his godbrothers in the Gaudiya Math. Bhakti, a study of Vedanta. In 1947, Gandhi advising, "You must immediately retire from active politics if you do not desire to die an inglorious death," you know, like Mussolini and Hitler and the rest of them. And that's what happened right after. He said, "You should teach Bhagavad Gita." Basically, the whole letter said, "You should teach Bhagavad Gita, not simply retire." And then exactly as Prabhupada had predicted, Gandhi was actually assassinated. It was an amazing prediction. You know, shortly thereafter, I think it was what, 3 weeks or something like that after Prabhupada wrote the letter. Prabhupada never got a reply to that letter. So then Prabhupada started his program in Jhansi. He initiated his first disciple, whose name was Acharya Prabhakar, and in 1953 incorporated the League of Devotees in Jhansi like that. And eventually, due to some political situation with the governor's wife, who wanted to turn it into a Lady Bhavan, and then he had to leave Jhansi, which was actually Krishna's arrangement, because had he stayed in Jhansi, we wouldn't have heard the rest of the story. In 1956, he moves to Vrindavan and writes this Vrindavan Bhajan, which is really a heavy bhajan, a heavy poem. He said, "Those who sit," basically I'm paraphrasing, one phrase in there is, "Those who sit and simply chant and don't preach, they're," he says, "they're eating the mind's bananas." Eating the mind's bananas was Prabhupada. In other words, they're crazy. You know, the bananas. In other words, everybody is meant to preach. Those, you know, so it was very critical of those who simply think they're going to become Babaji's, retire to Vrindavan, and enter into the higher rasas. I mean, it's extremely critical, and it's 1 year during Prabhupada's disappearance ceremony, which usually I'm in Vrindavan for that. I started to read it, and the devotees stopped me from reading it because it's actually so heavy. They were afraid it would offend people in Vrindavan to hear Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan. Very, very heavy. I advise you all to read it sometime, but we don't have time this morning. 1958, Prabhupada wrote the Varaha Ashtaka, 8 prayers in separation from his spiritual master. 1959, he decided, he actually got instructions, Krishna gave him instructions to write big books rather than just magazines. And then he began translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. This was part of his strategy to go to the Western world. You needed to have some books. He was originally living in the Vamsi Gopalji temple, and then in 1959, he moved into the Radha Damodar temple, which Prabhupada termed his eternal residence, the Radha Damodar temple, Jiva Goswami's temple, because that's where the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan would regularly meet and discuss Krishna consciousness and take prasadam together. And there's some stories that people who live next to the Radha Damodar temple would hear Prabhupada crying out in ecstasy in the evening, and Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then one devotee said, asked Prabhupada, "We heard that Rupa Goswami personally came and talked to you." And Prabhupada said, he didn't say no. He said, "Oh, that was a common story," and then left it aside. So Prabhupada directly, because you have the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami there. So Prabhupada directly came in contact with Rupa Goswami, who encouraged Prabhupada to preach Krishna consciousness worldwide. You know, this is not something ordinary, obviously. And 1959, after interacting with his godbrothers, he was awarded sannyas in Mathura by one of his godbrothers, His Holiness Keshava Maharaj. And then in 1980, Prabhupada published his first book, which was Easy Journey to Other Planets. And it's interesting, it was actually Prabhupada's, let's say, strategy to counteract or deal with the scientists utilizing their same language. You know, Prabhupada was talking about matter and antimatter in there, which was actually a very common topic at that point. So Prabhupada's preaching was, in many cases, very, very topical. You know, he adjusted his preaching topics according to what people were interested in. So that was Easy Journey to Other Planets, which mentioned antimatter and matter, which we don't even understand to this day. And then 61, he offered, there was the Vyas Puja offering to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. In 1962, he moved into the downstairs rooms, which are actually his rooms at this particular point, the Radhadamodar Temple. 1962, published his first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. In 63, he presented the Srimad Bhagavatam to Dr. S. Radhakrishna, who was the president of India, who Prabhupada had criticized many times before for his translation of the Bhagavad Gita, in which Dr. Radhakrishna says you don't have to surrender to the person, Krishna, but Krishna. Prabhupada was very critical of that. Of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then on August 13th, at 13:30 in Calcutta, he began his voyage to the U.S. aboard the Jaladuta ship. At September 17th, he arrived at the Commonwealth Pier in Boston, and that was 65, actually. It happened in 1966. Then you have the earliest recordings of Prabhupada available, incorporates the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, initiates his first disciples. October 23rd, publishes the first issue of Back to Godhead in the United States. Of course, that was done on a mimeograph machine, which probably nobody knows what a mimeograph machine. 60 is where you had a stencil and you just like had to do it by hand. We used to use those in the beginning days of the movement. Completed 67, this translation of Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, I wanted to complete this, but I'll leave this here for the devotees, and I had a lot of other things I wanted to talk about, but that's all. Tonight we want to give the devotees opportunity to make their offerings. I don't want to. Yeah, but mostly online. I'm going to be in the temple room, but we don't want to have a lot of people here for protection. I mean, certainly you can come, Purvaji. But I want to give everybody the opportunity to make their offerings, including everybody. We'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Paramahamsa Acharya Sri Shri
Jesus. Raja, Pradhan, Vishnu, Shri, Jaina,